there is something relentless about the nature of the preaching of God's word. It's also a great mercy and a great grace, but when you're under the weather, it can be a bit of a taskmaster. And there is a phrase that I learned from during my preaching classes many years ago, and it's I don't know if it's a poetic set of words, but it goes like this. It says, "The pulpit calls its preachers like the sea does its sailors, and like the sea, it batters and bruises." And then it says, "To preach, to really preach, is to die naked a little at a time, and to know that every time you do it, you must do it again." Powerful, powerful words. I have found those to be true in my life. I'm going to turn to prayer one last time before I turn to the word. Father, thank you for this moment with my brothers and sisters here. I am grateful to proclaim the gospel by expounding the Bible to the people you have given me to love. And I trust, Lord, that the very little I feel like I'm bringing to the table this morning will be sufficient, will be enough, because it's not my strength that you need right now. It's my availability, even in spite of my weakness. And so come and make much of your Son. Thank you for this passage that we'll examine this morning and the timeliness of it in this season. Come and grant us the gift of your Spirit and help us to see and to savor 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, over the last couple of days, I picked up some kind of bug from one of the little ones who was staying at our home this past week from Kansas City, and it has sufficiently knocked me off my feet, enough so that writing a fresh sermon manuscript yesterday was just not in the cards. I'd gotten about three quarters of the way into my preparation, but I couldn't finish that last step. And so Melissa and I were casting about for solutions for today. I had a couple of different ideas about what to do, but in less than 24 hours, what do you do when you realize you're not going to be preaching the sermon you thought you were going to be preaching? And the solution that we landed on seemed to be related to the one, for our church family anyway, seemed to be the one that we had been enjoying as an immediate family since this past Thursday, and that would be leftovers. So this morning, instead of turning to Genesis chapter 4, I invite you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, page 988 in the Red Bibles, and we are going to consider a message that I first preached at Praise and Pie 2017. It was 8 years ago, and these messages especially don't see the light of day usually after one time you preach them, and so I'm really feel grateful to go back to this. It's a single verse. We're going to think through a passage that's quite relevant to the week that we just had, and then as we look toward the Advent season in front of us. Here's the big idea as you make your way to 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in your Bibles. This holiday season, may we recover and never forget the what, the when, and the why of Christian gratitude. This holiday season, may we recover and never forget the what, the when, and the why of Christian gratitude. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." That's how the English Standard Version translates it, and I'm pretty sure that when I wrote this outline, I lapsed into the NIV, because that's exactly how I first would have memorized it. Happily for us, the difference in translation between the two is not one of vocabulary, but just one of word order. So the difference is negligible. So for the sake of what you have in your outline in front of you, we'll use it the way it's written there. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This holiday season, may we recover and never forget the what, and the when, and the why of Christian gratitude. So that's your outline. It's right in front of you. We'll start with the what. The what is give thanks. That's the first point today. Give thanks. This is the what. And it's an important question to ask, actually. What does it mean to give thanks? For hundreds of years now in our nation, it has been a custom to gather with family and friends and loved ones this past week to celebrate a holy day, that we mark off as Thanksgiving. We are to give thanks at Thanksgiving, which is great. My question is, what's that? Not what's turkey or what's stuffing or what's green bean hot dish or what's cranberry sauce. We know what those are. I'm asking something far more basic, actually, something back behind that, something that we all assume that we know what we're doing when we gather on days like these, and that would be what Thanksgiving actually is. Because whether or not we gathered with family and friends over this past Thursday, we have a command from Almighty God through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, not just on Thanksgiving, but every day, to give thanks. And I'm asking, what's that? What's thanks? What does it mean to give thanks? Well, our two English words, give thanks, are actually a single word in the Greek. I'll give it to you in Paul's language, and you can tell me what it sounds like. Eucharistete. Eucharistete. What does that sound like? Eucharist. Yeah. In the more liturgical traditions, it's still referred to today as Eucharist. In less liturgical traditions, we would know it as the communion or the Lord's Supper. And we call it Eucharist, I suspect, because in 1 Corinthians 11:24, it says of Jesus that when he had given thanks, he broke it. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. So when he had Eucharistete, he broke bread. So what does Eucharistete mean? Well, it's interesting. It's a word that occurs some 37 times in the pages of the New Testament. It's actually a compound word. It's one big word with two smaller words inside of it. And those two smaller words are good and grace. The prefix eu means good. The main part of the word, charis, means grace. Eucharist literally means good grace, or more properly, Eucharist acknowledges that God's grace works really well. God's grace is good. That's what we mean, or what we ought to mean, when we speak of the giving of thanks and thanksgiving. Eucharist is an explosion of praise that God's grace is good. Eucharistete, give thanks. Which now, of course, leads to the fascinating and undeniable conclusion that the giving of thanks, thanksgiving, is unavoidably Christian. Unavoidably. In fact, we can go further. Not only is the giving of thanks, gratitude, unavoidably Christian, we can say that the giving of thanks is uniquely Christian. We can go further. One New Testament scholar says this: we can go so far as to say that ingratitude to God is characteristic of pagan depravity. Or as I read preparing for this message, being unthankful is the very essence of an unregenerate heart. You say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. Listen to Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Speaking of the unbelieving world apart from the grace of God, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. For Paul, as in the rest of the Bible, ingratitude is a characteristic, perhaps the characteristic, of pagan depravity. Being unthankful is the essence of the unregenerate heart. And why? Because giving thanks means confessing to God and to all the world that his grace is good. Okay, so what is the giving of thanks? Well, that is the giving of thanks. Giving of thanks, or thanksgiving, is a happy admission that God's grace works well. It's a worshiping of the one true God for his good grace. That's what thanksgiving is. Let's move to a second point today. It's much more, it presses on us more than the first, and it's in all circumstances. So second point today is when we ought to give thanks. When we ought to give thanks. And the answer is in all circumstances. Back to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the shrewd Bible student would point out that this text says, give thanks in all circumstances, not give thanks for all circumstances. And that's true, and some of us take great comfort that the word reads this way. But it's just as crucial to recognize that the same man who wrote 1 Thessalonians 5:18 wrote Ephesians 5:20. And in Ephesians 5:20, we are summoned to give thanks always and for everything. So do we give thanks in all circumstances, or do we give thanks for all circumstances? Answer, yep. We should. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is the easier of the two texts. Giving thanks in all circumstances simply requires of us that we acknowledge that God is good despite suffering, despite adverse circumstances. So God is good all the time, even though all the times may not be good. Yes, give thanks in all circumstances, but the real test of our theology, and more immediately of our practical theology, is that when we believe Ephesians 5:20, which says clearly that God gives us to calls us to give thanks always and for everything to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Give thanks always and for everything. And by everything, he means everything. Even adversity. I would say especially adversity, especially suffering. And I say that because the Bible so often calls us specifically to be thankful to eucharistete in view of suffering. This is Jesus in Matthew 5:11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Evidently, the disciples were listening when Jesus said this, because when we get to Acts chapter 5, verses 40 and 41, we read of Peter and John, who were before the Jewish council, and it says, when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer disgrace for the name. The Apostle Paul, too, writes in Romans 5, 3-5, we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope. Hope doesn't put us to shame. In a very similar passage, James, the half-brother of Jesus, writes in James 1, 2-4, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So should we give thanks in all circumstances, or should we give thanks for all circumstances? Answer, yes. Yes, you should. It's both. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and 5:20 give us permission, even more, give us warrant to give thanks in everything and to give thanks for everything. And if what I've said is not yet persuasive to you, allow me just maybe four more additional reasons to give thanks, not just in everything, but to give thanks for everything, especially for adversity. The first reason to give thanks for adversity to God is that in our adversity, God promises to comfort us so that we might be able to comfort others. Think of 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Second reason to give thanks for adversity is that there is no adversity that is able to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. This is Romans 8, 38-39. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Third reason to give thanks to God for adversity is that compared to what the Lord has prepared for those who love him, there is simply nothing in this world that can befall us that will not be offset by the joy of heaven one day. So 2 Corinthians 4:7, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Translation, whatever you're going through right now, you're not suffering from anything that a good resurrection can't fix. Amen? Finally, classic text along these lines, Romans 8:28, fourth and final reason to give thanks for God for adversity, is that when things don't go the way they should, God always makes them turn for good. Romans 8:28, for I know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All for those who are called according to his purpose. So yes, we can thank God in all circumstances because God is good. And yes, we can give thanks to God for all circumstances because God is sovereign and God is wise. He's a king who cares. He knows what he's doing. One of the great church fathers of the early church was a preacher named John Chrysostom, and Chrysostom wrote this, "Let us give thanks then, not only that God has calmed the tempest, but that he has permitted it to take place. Not only did he rescue us from the shipwreck, but that he allowed us to fall into such distress and permitted such peril to hang over us." When Paul says, in everything give thanks, he means not only in our deliverance from evils, but also at the time that we suffer those evils. He hasn't stopped being good or wise right in the midst of them. And so we give thanks, not just in all circumstances, but for them. If anything is clear from the pages of the New Testament, it's this, that we ought to give thanks to God in all circumstance and for all circumstances. All right. Third and final point. We've got what is thanks, when do we give thanks? Now we have to ask the question, why? Why give thanks? Point number three. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, it's interesting, truth be told, we've already given a truckload of reasons to give thanks as we looked at other places in the New Testament, but we haven't given the one reason this text actually offers to give thanks, so we should look at that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, announcing to God and to all the world that his grace is good, is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. So let's handle both of those parts of that those phrases and then we'll be done. First, giving thanks in all circumstances is God's will for you. You know, so many Christians spend their days wondering what God's will for their lives is. You ever wondered what God's will for your life is? Well, I know what God's will for your life is. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and you do too. It's to give thanks in all circumstances. It's interesting that, so far as I can tell, the word the will of God appears three times in the New Testament. And each time it appears, it gives us a specific facet of God's divine intentions for us. The phrase the will of God occurs here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, also in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and then in 1 Peter 3. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the phrase will of God is actually grammatically connected to the verses that precede it. So let's look at that to get the fuller picture here. What's God's will for our lives? Well, three things here in 1 Thessalonians beginning in 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, this is the will of God for you, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So friends, we don't need a horoscope or a crystal ball or even a word of prophecy on this one. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And if we would read that verse in context, we would discover that Paul's talking about, uniquely he's thinking about sexual purity. And so the whole verse in 1 Thessalonians 4:3 is, for this is the will of God for your this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So what's the will of God for your life? Well, it's rejoice always, it's pray without ceasing, It's give thanks in all circumstances, and it's to be holy, especially in terms of sexual purity. Finally, in 1 Peter 3:17 and 1 Peter 4:19, we see this phrase, the will of God, once more. 1 Peter 3:17, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. And what appears to be suggested in 1 Peter 3:17 is confirmed beyond all doubt in 1 Peter 4:19. Later on, Peter says in 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. So what do we conclude? Well, we conclude that part of the will of God for Christians, a key part of the will of God for Christians, is suffering, is adversity. What's the will of God for your life? Well, on one level, I haven't the faintest clue. But I can tell you this, if you're a Christian, the will of God for your life includes rejoicing, praying without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, growing in holiness, especially sexual purity, and suffering. See, that last one is strange. I'd say, but only to American ears, probably, is it strange. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it's come upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may be also glad when his glory is revealed. So finally, and most importantly, giving thanks, as we said in the outset of the sermon, really only makes sense within a Christian worldview. This is a uniquely Christian concept. Don't miss these last three words in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. They're not throwaway words. I mean, no Bible words are throwaway words, but especially here. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Those last three words in verse 18 signal the doctrine that lies at the very heart of Paul's theology, the doctrine of union with Christ. It is far and away my favorite Christian doctrine. It's because it's a doctrine that contains so many other doctrines. And what it means is this, of all the treasures that God offers us in his Son, from new life to adoption to justification to sanctification to one day ultimate resurrection and glorification, all the treasures that God offers us are found in one person, and one person only, the God-man, Jesus. And so if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I'd really like to be able to thank God in all circumstances, just understand that you need to be connected to his Son for that to be a reality for you. Jesus lived a perfect life. It's a life that you and I can't live. And he died a sacrificial sin-bearing death on the cross. It's the death that each of us deserve to die because of our sin. And when we turn from our sin toward Christ as our Savior and our Lord and our treasure, all that he's accomplished in Jesus, he will begin to apply to your life. Today is the day to come to Jesus, salvation by grace through faith in him. And if you're a believer too and you're thinking, this is exactly what I needed to hear in terms of recognizing that it's not just simply on Thanksgiving, but it's in the midst of the mess that I'm going through post-Thanksgiving. It's just a reminder that the gospel obviously is not just the ABCs of the Christian life, but it's the A to Z of the Christian life. Who of us doesn't need 1 Thessalonians 5:18 on a daily basis? So this holiday season, as you face Advent, as you think about the weeks to come, as we approach Christmas Day and the New Year and so on, this holiday season, may we recover and never forget the what, the when, and the why of Christian gratitude. Give thanks in all circumstances and for all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this good morning. I'm grateful to gather with these friends. And I trust, Lord, that you would take this message and use it in our church. It's not the message that I intended to preach today, but it's the one that I've got. And I pray that you would use it for your glory, for our joy. And Lord, as we aim to complete the study of Genesis chapter 4, in the weeks ahead, in the season of Advent. We are eager to see what you will do in and through this congregation. We thank you for the gift of the pulpit. Thank you for those that have come hungry this morning to hear from you, and the joy that it is to gather and to know fellowship in Jesus. Lord, would you use this message now for all of those purposes and more as we look to the week ahead to be and make disciples of Jesus. In your great name we pray it. Amen.